having some question on Tuesday, Shiloh. And because of time, I couldn't take it. Though I have something to preach tonight, let me see if I can take two or three questions before we take a look at a very important topic in the Bible. Very, very important. Where are they? Question? Come forward. We will give you microphone. You ask your question. Make sure you ask the question where I pay answer. Don't ask the question that is above my head. Don't ask me question that only Archbishop can answer. Because me, I'll be ordinary pastor. Ask me question that ordinary pastor will answer. For instance, I cannot answer, only an archbishop can answer the question of the reason why he ordained his wife pastor. I can't answer that type of question. That question is bigger than me. Okay, who is asking the question? Come forward. Give her microphone. Give her microphone.
Good evening, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, my question is about Prophet William Branham.
Yes.
I've read some of his books, like the Seven Church Age Messages. I've read it, and some of the message books. But why I want to ask this question is that there was no place he himself acknowledged himself as the prophet of this age. Because there was a place in that Seven Church Age Message that he said that we are looking forward to knowing the star messenger of this church age. Why was it that he was not able to know that he was the one? That's my question, sir.
It depends on which message you have read. There are also messages where he said, "Thus said the Lord, I am the voice of God to this generation."
I've not read that one, sir.
And you must also understand that the testimony goes that while he was baptizing in 1933 in that Ohio River, that baptismal service, when hundreds of people by the riverside saw that light like a star that came on his head, and the voice spoke to him, and he said, "As John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so are you given the message that shall forerun my second coming." So he knew it was a star messenger for the age. And more importantly, church, is that in that same book you read, the Seven Church Exposition of the Seven Church Ages, he told us what was used to identify the star messenger for every age. And he identified them from Apostle Paul down up to John Wesley, the sixth church age messenger. Then when it came to the seventh church age messenger, he treated it the way Jesus Christ treated or answered the questions of that John the Baptist was in the prison, and he sent his disciples to go to Jesus and ask him, "Are you the one we are expecting? Or we should wait for another one that is coming?" Meanwhile, in John chapter 1, he has already identified himself, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." But what he expected the Messiah will come and do, he could not imagine that the Messiah will come and hear that he, a forerunner of the Messiah, is inside prison and he has not come to deliver him from prison yet. So he began to doubt. He sent his disciple, "Go and find out. Are you the one, the real one? Have you been a mistake with the maker? Have you not you?" This is how Jesus Christ answered. He took him back to the scriptures. He said, "Go and tell John, the blind they see, the lame walk, Hallelujah. The cripples are walking. Go and tell him what is happening here so that he will know that the sign that will accompany the person that is coming is here. That should tell you evidence that the Messiah is here. And he answered, William Branham began to tell you how to identify this seven church age messenger. He began to tell you this is how he will be identified. And all those identifications were fulfilled in his own ministry. So he acknowledged his ministry.
Okay, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Let's hear that, brother. Any other sister here? Okay.
Praise the Lord. Lisa, my question is from baptism of Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Number one is, can one have Holy Ghost without water baptism? But through my study, I find the answer at the Acts of Apostle 10:42-48. But follow up to that number one question. If one receives Holy Ghost and on the process of he looking for where to be baptized and he gave up to the ghost, what happens?
Yes. Sorry, please. I was distracted. Ask your question again.
I say, number one question is, can one have Holy Ghost without water baptism?
Yes.
But I found the answer at the Acts of Apostle 10:42-48.
Yes.
But follow up to the question number two. If one receive Holy Ghost on the process of looking for where to be baptized and he gave up to ghost, what happened?
You ask this question, you must ask it in the context of what you understand salvation to be. See, it's very important you catch this. There are some questions you ask. You ask this question as if when it comes to salvation, you have any part to play in it other than to yield yourself. It is God's own business. Dissect this scripture very well. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and verse 29 and verse 30. Dissect it very well. You won't ask this question you are asking. It says, for we know that, remember that in John chapter 6 verse 44, am I correct? It says, no man can come to Christ except the Father we sent him draw you. That's the meaning of call. Nobody can be a Christian unless God makes you a Christian. Because nobody can even know who Jesus Christ is unless the Father revealed Jesus Christ to you. Salvation is deep, church. Your understanding of that makes you appreciate grace. You will never beat your chest when it comes to salvation as if you are anything. You are something because God has made you something. You are going to heaven because God decided you will go to heaven. So I'm answering your question. Now, listen. He said, all things work together for good. Romans 8:28. To them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. God call you according to his purpose. Now listen. Verse 29 then says, because verse 29 answers the question, why he called me and why he does not call another person and allows that person to die in sin. Verse 29 says, for whom he, God, did foreknow. There is something he knew concerning you before you were formed in your mother's womb. For whom he did foreknow, foreknowledge, he, God, did predestinate. That is, your destination, your end was determined before you began. It is deep, church. For whom he did foreknow. What did he know concerning you? He knew that if he revealed himself to you, you will believe. But there are some human beings on earth, if he revealed himself to them, they will never believe. In his mercy, he says, if I give these two people opportunity, this one will believe, this one will not believe. Why then should I send all of them to hell? Let me therefore give him the opportunity to repent. That is the reason why. So that God will not be held responsible for anybody going to hell, he preaches both to his, the ones that he foreknow, those that he has their name already in the book of life, both those that he know will believe and those who will not believe, he will preach to them, preach to everybody. And he refused any of his preachers, ministers, to know who is a serpent seed, who is going to hell, and who is going to heaven. None of us know until you die. So that all of us will be preaching to, we will preach to everybody, that God knows who will believe and who will not believe. He, knowing that you will believe, foreknowledge, he predestinated, that is, your destination was determined before you began. What was your destiny that he prepared for you in advance? Before you even came in, while you were smoking Igbo or drinking beer in Wabia Palo, he has already written your name down in the book of life from the foundation of the world because of the foreknowledge that at the appropriate time when he will reveal himself to you, you will bow. But for now, you are still drinking beer for Bia Palo. And there are some that are still there now. There are some that are still doing armed robbery. Now, his children. But when the time comes and he reveals himself to them, they will bow. Did he know that we bow? So the day they bow, you think that God is rejoicing specially? Eh? He has been rejoicing from the foundation of the world that this one we believe. Praise the Lord. Therefore, salvation is not by accident before God. Salvation is his own plan. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. What is your destiny? To be conformed to the image of his dear son, Jesus. That he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is our destiny? Our destiny is to become children of God. Hallelujah. So, now that scripture goes on. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Then he went further in verse 30. He said, moreover, whom he did, how did that scripture put it? Eh? He said, verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, those who he has predestinated because of foreknowledge, he has predestinated, they are those he called. Then he went further. Whom he now called. What does he do? He justified. What is the process of justification? Only those that God himself called, he will lead them to correct water baptism. There are some people that will never know correct water baptism because it is not God that called them, it is their geo that called them. There are some people that it is problem that is making a run to church. It is some people, if they sit down there, anything you are preaching, they know nothing other than which time the prophets will start now. They know nothing else. But there are so many people that God used problem to chase them to church. But when they get to church, they begin to see something better than their problem, they forget their problem and begin to hold on to the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. So now to answer your question, you have to understand that. He said, whom he did, how did he put it? Moreover, whom he predestinated, he called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorifies. The glorification there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so, there is nothing like saying, after he gave you the Holy Ghost, before you could reach water baptism, you die. But then God will say, oh, I don't lose this one. If you think like that, you don't understand salvation. See, as long as your name is in the book of life, all that period you were in Pia Palo, all that period you were in secret cult, all that period you were a drunkard, motor no go hit you for road. God will watch over you. God will watch over you because your name is in the book of life. Nothing will happen to you until you come in. But once you have received the Holy Ghost, he has finished his work on you. You can die now. He knows he has grabbed you. Praise God. That's salvation. Okay? I hope I've answered your question.
Sir, but is it certain that everybody that went to water baptism must receive the Holy Ghost?
Is it certain?
Yeah.
The Bible says so. If it is God that called you, he will give you the Holy Ghost. Except it is not God that called you. And how do we know it is God that called you? The first thing, before you go for that water baptism, you will first repent. If you don't repent before going in, God didn't call you. As long as God has called you, how do you know God has called you? The Bible in Acts chapter 2 says, after Peter preached, said they were pricked in their hearts. You will suddenly realize the need for the salvation of your soul. You will ask God to forgive you. In the condition of that heart, when you go in there for that water, you come out. If he doesn't give you that day, he will give you not many days from then. Certainly you will receive the Holy Ghost. Because that is according to Acts 2:38. Certainly. Yes?
On this chapter, Acts of Apostle 17:30.
Read it. Read it.
And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent.
Yes. Which ignorance? The ignorance is in from verse 29. Let's read from verse 29. He says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, that is, we came from God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Then he added, and the times of this ignorance, God winked at it, now commanded all men everywhere to repent. That is, before you had the knowledge of the true God, you were idol worshippers. You hewed stones and wood and made images and bowed to them. Apostle Paul said, all that time you were doing all that, God has winked at it. Not just that, and every other sin you were committing because of ignorance, God has winked at it. But now that you have the knowledge of the true God, he said, commands all men to repent. Okay.
Sir, but based on the salvation, that the some principle that guides salvation, what about those who this message, They did not hear this message about going to water baptism and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. and they serve God very well, but they did not pass through that baptism and they died.
What will happen to them?
What happened to them? Yes.
Okay, well, I believe you are asking this for knowledge sake, because I like to concentrate on what pertains to you and me now. Those who died without having this truth, you'll be taking us back, because we have what we call the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? The meaning of righteousness is the right standing before God. At every given time, God has always had what he referred to as his own standard for that day, his righteousness, that will make you to be acceptable before God at that time. Abraham was told, leave. A spirit just appeared to Abraham and said, I am the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Come out of your people and I will show you a land that you will inherit. Hallelujah. I will show you a land that you will inherit. Where is that land? You don't know. Who they talk to me? You don't know. But something inside of him made him to believe. And he left his homeland, his own people, and began to walk. Where are you going, Abraham? God will say, as you live. Where are you going? Me too, I don't know. But he said, as you go. Now, that action of Abraham, the Bible says he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Praise God. Now, at another stage again, hallelujah. Please, can you go check this line? Amen. Abraham entered a covenant with God. And God told him that this will be the sign of that covenant, the seal of that covenant. He said, at the age of 90 years old, an old man is told to cut off the foreskin. You know how painful it will be. And everyone in his family, the seal of the circumcision. Everyone at home, including he himself, at the age of 90. And the evidence that you are with God is that at that time, everyone you must circumcise. Once you circumcise, it is counted to you for righteousness, because that is God's standard. That made them different from the Gentiles at that time. It moved on again, praise the Lord, to the days. I mean, it's there. It depends on what God wants at that particular time. Then in the seventh church, bless you. Sorry, they changed their source of power. Okay, we're talking about God's righteousness. In every age, there is God's righteousness. Let me put it that way, so that we don't go unnecessary details. Every age, there is God's standard for righteousness. In the days of Apostle Paul, there was God's standard. Irenaeus, there was God's standard. Columba, there was God's standard. Luther, there was God's standard. John Wesley, there was God's standard at that time. Because John Luther and John Wesley, they were baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. The titles, they did not baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, all the followers of the message of those star messengers at that time were the bride for that age. Because they had a message. The difference between us and them is that in the seventh church age, we are the glorious age. We are the age for the manifestation of the full world. Amen. So our own standard is actually higher. We had a message also for our age. And the standard that God will use to judge all the Christians in this age is the end time message, as delivered to the church through the ministry of that seventh church age messenger, fulfilling Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. That says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has revealed to his servant the prophets. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. For the original life, the original life, the original seed, the original one, is what I believe. The Son of Man, the seventh seed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have caught the revelation. And that revelation is come back to original Christianity. And that is what we are. You know, when we speak like this, it looks almost sacrilegious. It looks abominable. What are you saying? God's standard for this age is the end time message. I repeat, you can never go in the rapture in this age outside of the message. You can never. Because in the message is the requirement for the rapture for this age. Unless you are in it, you will never know it. You will never know it. Hallelujah. That's why the entire message says, come out of the denominations and come back to the Bible. Come back. Okay. When we sound like this, we look like a group of people who are proud, as if we are condemning people. But the gospel, it's a gospel of condemnation anyway. Because the gospel, generally, is a gospel for judgment. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not. So what are you saying? The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of condemnation. It's the gospel of judgment. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not is damned already. If you don't believe the entire message, you are dead and gone. But he that believeth this message, hallelujah, hallelujah. To my loved ones, let me say, there will surely come a day when the Lord will come again and catch his bride away. So get ready now to meet him, and with hallelujah greeting, I will see you in the rapture some sweet day. See you in the rapture. I will see you in the rapture. I will see you at the meeting in the air. Hallelujah. There will surely come a rapture. Probably, I think I've answered your question, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Another one. Show
yes.
It.
Yes, sir.
Only you. I won't preach. I won't preach. Oh, I won't preach.
Sir, the parable of them.
Yes.
Virgins.
Yes.
Those foolish virgins that will not agree to the voice of the Antichrist, that will die and that will pay with their blood. Are they going to heaven or they are not?
Oh, certainly now they will be in the millennium. Certainly they will be in the millennium. Certainly. They'll be part of the bride, but they entered with Wahala. The Wahala that they should not have entered into if they were wise and had oil in their lamp, Revelation. So they will be in the rapture.
Thank you, sir.
They'll be in the millennium, rather. Amen. Okay, let me hear that, sister. Yes.
There was a pastor that preached here. You're not the one. He's a younger pastor. The one that just graduated. He said...
Graduated from Bible school?
From university, according to what he said.
Okay.
He said that it was says that... that happened in the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
But he said again that Adam, serpent had his own. And Adam came and had his own. And Eve was conceived. And Cain and Abel was born. They were born the same day, but they were not twins. So my question is it possible that is it a mystery? Is it possible that a woman, two people, we had sex different time, and this one will conceive, another but he will come and had again, another one could conceive, and they will be born the same day, and they will not be twins.
No, I don't know if you really understood what he was saying.
I was confused.
The important aspect of that revelation, the important aspect of that revelation is that two children were born by one woman, but fathered by two different fathers. That is the emphasis. Eve conceived of two babies. Now, whether they were born the same day, it is not written like that in the Bible. But certainly, the two children were born about the same period by the same woman, but their origin, their paternity, their fathers, they were two different fathers. That is what I was trying to point to you. That Adam fathered one of the children in the womb of Eve. And the serpent, that animal, also fathered a child, all in the same womb. And the question you are asking is it possible for a woman to take him by another man and then take him again by another, by one husband and another man again, take him and then give birth to twins? Yes, there is history to it. Yes, there is medical report, science and evidence for it. That a man, and if there's any medical doctor here, you can confirm it. Is there any medical doctor here? Any medical doctor can confirm. We have read it in some newspapers. We got some clips of those papers sometime before here to show you that a man in America, a couple in America, the wife, they are white, American, white Americans. The wife took in and gave birth to twins. One was black, the other one was Oibo. And so the man came and saw the twins, and he told his wife, "We have no black lineage in my family. You have no black lineage in your family, your lineage. No black person in your lineage. So certainly this Oibo, let me get them. That black, you know where you get them from." And the report says the woman said that she confessed that she was in her ovulation. She had a black boyfriend that slept with her earlier that day. Before she came home, and that same day again, her husband met with her. That man planted his own. Her husband planted his own. And you are to bring forth after your kind. Praise the Lord. That is the reason why we say, certainly, if that law is correct, you are to bring forth after your kind. An animal will produce an animal. A human being will produce a human being. That is certain. Now, the only two children, hallelujah, why we say that Cain can never be the son of Adam. That Abel was the son of Adam, and Cain the son of an animal, is by their fruit you will know them. Cain was behaving like an animal. It is animals that kill to be able to have food to eat. So the nature of murder to kill is an animal nature. The only two children on earth, the first two children on earth, who taught the other one how to kill? There is a nature, an animal nature, that when you are angry, you kill. That is how we know. Secondly, an animal cannot have revelation. When it was time to bring sacrifice before God, everybody came. And Cain and Abel came. Abel had a revelation that Cain did not have. What was the revelation? Abel knew that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And they were coming for the remission of their sins. And when you come for remission of sins, you have to come by the way of the blood. How did he know it? By revelation. The church shall live by faith. Revelation. Praise God. But an animal can never know it. And so, the animal came and brought fruits, brought decorated altar. God did not receive that one. God received that of Abel because he brought it by faith, by revelation. That is one. And there's something again. There is nothing in an animal to receive revelation. If you like, open his brain and carry Bible and put it there and zip it there. He said, "Why are you angry, Cain?" God himself was talking to Cain. given Cain opportunity to repent and do your own like your brother did now. Cain, lie. Does not understand what he said. No matter what you do, an animal will never have his sins remitted because he's an animal. Praise God. I'm not teaching on serpent seed now. But it is the revelation. Get the message I preach that are titled, Why You Must Be Born Again. It is because of what happened there. We are all corrupted. Every human being sitting down here today, on earth today, because the lineage of Cain and the lineage of Seth, they crossed. Therefore, animal nature through marriage, animal nature crossed to all human beings. And that was what Satan wanted to achieve. Until all human beings on earth started behaving like animals. No God in the agenda anymore. Until God repented creating the human beings. And God had to wipe them all away. But Noah and his family, they still had that nature in them that passed through to all of us today. The nature that God created of every human being has been corrupted with animal nature. Satan designed it so that whenever he wants to mess up around, he can just come upon you and then anoint that animal nature and make you act like an animal. When you see a human being stand up and then carry gun and shoot and kill, and he gets excited over that, you know that a normal human being cannot do that. And don't say that a spirit has possessed him. It's not the spirit possessing him, because it's not everybody that can do that. That spirit cannot enter everybody. You see? Now the truth is, it is that nature that Satan is anointing to cause evil all around. That is why you must be born again. God coming and releasing his spirit inside of you to remove that nature, that animal nature, and put you a godly nature that can make you fear God and know what is right and what is wrong. That's why you must be born again. Your nature has been corrupted. And that doctrine is substantiated by the revelation of what the church of Jesus Christ is. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7, Apostle Paul says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. What is the mystery of iniquity? It's the same thing Satan did in the Garden of Eden that he's doing in the church of Jesus Christ. You need to catch that. You will understand the doctrine of the serpent seed. Exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden is exactly what is happening in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, we have Eve in the Garden of Eden. Hey, I want to preach. Amen. Well, maybe somebody needs to hear something from this. We have Eve in the Garden of Eden. We had Adam. Adam was positioned there to pass seed because there was a law of multiplication. It says, multiply and replenish. Be ye fruitful. Multiply and replenish. I was just telling my wife yesterday also, as I was meditating on God's principles and laws, it's very, very wonderful if you can just understand it. Because of a testimony I was discussing with one of our sisters here during the week, I said, you will see a church will start with 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 people. 1 year, 2 years after, they are multitude. Bwah! Everybody is everywhere, the church full, multitude going to that church. And why I say so is because that sister was telling me that there are so many churches, and she was, you know, trying to substantiate it by certain things she has come to know. Churches that when they start like this, they go and get means. They get juju. They get strange power that they planted. A brother of mine here was in a house, my house yesterday, Brother Andrew, that he rented part of his house at Echigbo. He is a landlord, an uncompleted place, to a church, one of the popular churches. Let me not call name now. He said, rented the church to them, and the land to them, but told them not to put any permanent structure because he intended to build on that piece of land. Okay, he said they still built a concrete altar. Later on, they moved out. When they moved out, he told them, what of your altar? Now, won't you people come and break it and whatever? They said they left it there. So he decided to go and break the altar. He hired these malams to come and break the altar. Break. He said, when they broke it, the malams ran to him and said, Oga, come and see, Oga, come and see. He said, under the altar there were seven candles of different colors. You know what that means. They tie there and then people will go to that altar and they are bowing there, not knowing what you are bowing to. Well, why I remember that is, I told my wife, I say, anything that there is the principle of sowing and reaping. There is seed time and there is harvest time. And every is a law of God. You go to the farm, you will plant one seed. It is always one seed you start with. Then you will continue to water that one seed. The farmer is waiting for the appointed time. You cannot plant today and tomorrow go and harvest. There is a waiting time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. And I was reminding her, I said, this ministry, this bride assembly, started with four people. And I was telling her, and I discovered, Pastor Thomas, I was telling you too, I said, every program we have always organized has always been better than the previous one. I said, and the church has been growing steadily. We have never had a time where the church grew and then came down and then scattered. Then we started building again, grew and came down, scattered. I say it has never been. It has always been growing steady and going. I said that is evidence it is God that has planted the church. But the church, you just start, 3 years after, everywhere, branches everywhere, and we started mentioning them. Where are those big names you used to hear before? It's gone. It's gone. No, God has a principle he follows. So when God wanted to replenish the whole of this earth, what did he do? Didn't God know that one day you will have 6 billion people on earth? Is God not capable of molding 6 billion Adams and breathing into them, and then the whole earth will just have 6 billion human beings everywhere on earth? He said, be fruitful, multiply and replenish. He got one woman, got one man, and gave that man a woman, Eve. He was now to plant his seed in her womb. Amen. And that seed will be brought forth. And that seed was supposed to be another Adam. the womb that, hallelujah, of Eve. Eve is a woman, is a type of the church of Jesus Christ. The Bible referred to Jesus Christ as the last Adam. And the Bible referred to the word of God as the unadulterated seed. The word of God is planted in the church to produce Christians. But inside that church, which is a type of the womb of Eve, Satan too, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Satan too was interested in that same womb. Like he was interested in the womb of Eve, he's interested in the womb of the church of Jesus Christ. Where Adam will go and plant his seed, while men slept, Matthew 13, the enemy went and also planted tares in the same womb. Therefore, we have wheat and tares in the church of Jesus Christ. Two groups of people, but their origin is for two different origins. The tares from the enemy, the wheat from the owner of the womb. You have to understand that. Until the two of them, as they began to grow up to the days of Noah, the same thing in the church, the wheat and tares, until the whole church has been corrupted, it is now difficult to identify a true Christian or a true church. They're everywhere planted there. They prophesy. Miracle signs and wonders. So you think that they are the same Adam's children. Cain is not a child of Adam. But he has all the features that Abel also had. But the foundation of God standeth sure. The Bible said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Adam knew who his children were, who his child was. God knows who his true children are. But the rain fall on the just and the unjust. Yes, but God speaks to both seeds. He speaks to tares. He speaks also to the wheat. Hallelujah. He speaks, but the wheat will change, but the tares will grow worse and worse. Because a tare is a tare. A wheat is a wheat. But they all have the Bible. They all have ministries. That is the mystery. They are all saying they are Christians. They are all saying they belong, they are children of God. They are anointed. And the same anointing you use is the same anointing they also use. Hallelujah. But at the end time, reapers will separate them. And we are in the end time now. And the separation is going on. You separate the wheat from the tares. Praise the Lord. So what you heard is correct.
Is this scriptural that a wife will know the actual amount that the husband have in the bank account, vice versa?
Are two of you not one? The two of you are one. Why should you keep secret of one another? You should know what your husband has, all his property, wherever they are, what the value is. Your husband too should know in a proper marriage. Now, let me balance something. Listen carefully. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The proper thing to do is, why should you hide? In a proper marriage, the two of you are even, you know, co-signatories to the same account. You have a common account and you run it together in a normal setting. But sometimes we have a union where the other party becomes very foolish. Very foolish. Maybe it is the wife. Once the husband knows she has money, bam, he will collect it. And what he does with it is nothing meaningful to the family. So, the woman, out of wisdom, Not because she intends to cheat him, because God judges our motives. She has to apply wisdom and declare only the one that he knows. If he knows, yeah, he don't go. So you have 100,000, you will declare 50,000. Because you are sure by tomorrow the 50,000 is gone. So you will hide the rest. The truth is you are hiding it actually for the family because the man is useless. So that could be one of the circumstances where somebody can hide his finance from the other. But we also have people that are just selfish. They want to hide their own, and then because they don't want to live up to their responsibilities. Now, that kind of person, the Bible calls him an infidel. He said, you are worse than an infidel. A man that cannot provide for his household. And some of them are like that. A man that will hide and then want to use the resources of the woman. You know, that is an evil man. You don't marry. Yes. Joy. But then your husband question the answer. Amen. I think I've answered your question. Okay. Let me hear you, brother.
Thank you, sir. Sir, in Matthew 27 from 50, Bible says there that when Christ yielded up the ghost on the cross, that the dead body of the saints rose from their graves and went to the cities. Sir, what does that have to say about Christ? That is the question number one.
As about what?
I say, what does that have to say about Christ? He says that when Christ yielded up the ghost on the cross, that the dead body of the saints that was dead came out from their graves. So, I don't understand. I want to know what he says.
Okay.
Then, the second question, let me say it so that you answer me at once. Then, the next one is that, when we'll be reigning with Christ on earth in a millennium, if eventually I pass through maybe Oshodi, will I still recognize it? Then, the third question is, I want to know the function of the Holy Ghost and one's angel. Because at times, when I'm reading the scripture, one will be interpreting the scripture
wait,
for me.
Wait, first. Let me answer them one by one. Because they are not related now. The first question you ask, I want you to note something. You say, how does it relate to Christ? What do we say about Christ? Of course, Christ boasted that he is the resurrection and the life. But I want you to note what happened in Matthew 27 where you are referring to. We have two resurrections in the Bible. Church, we have two resurrections in the Bible. I think we have taken a teaching on that too. Two resurrections in the Bible. The resurrection unto life and the resurrection unto condemnation. Now, the first resurrection is the resurrection unto life. And this first resurrection, they are in three phases. The first resurrection is in three phases. The first phase was at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those dead saints that resurrected, the graves were open. And for 40 days, the saints of God, they were seeing them. They will appear here, disappear here, appear here, disappear here, appear here. Together with Christ. That is the first part of the first resurrection. The second part of the first resurrection is the one we are waiting for now. Praise the Lord. That is the one we are waiting for. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive shall be changed in a moment, and then we'll be caught up to meet with him in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18. Now that is the second part of the first resurrection, because it is still resurrection unto life. The third part part of the third resurrection is the foolish virgins. Hallelujah. That is the third part of the first resurrection. All these ones, they form the first resurrection, they form the bride of Jesus Christ that will come in the rapture. And anybody that does not resurrect in these three parts of the first resurrection, the Bible says that they remain in their graves until after the 1,000 years. No more resurrection, because the next resurrection is in Revelation chapter 20. That is the white throne judgment. And that resurrection is for condemnation, to let you know the reason why you are going to be thrown into hellfire. Anybody that does not participate in this first resurrection, no more salvation. The next thing is hellfire waiting for you after 1,000 years. Amen. So, and remember, resurrection, the power for resurrection is given to him, Jesus Christ. So that is what you saw there. What's your second question?
The second question is, I said during the millennial reign with Christ on earth for 1,000 years, I said, I know I'll be there. I now said,
Amen.
If I happen to pass maybe through Oshodi, will I still recognize that this is Oshodi?
Let me ask you a question. What gives you the assurance that you'll be there?
Because the scripture says that them that have his spirit, that they that made that receive him, they are believing him, to them he gave his spirit to be his sons. John chapter 1 verse 12.
That's the reason why you are sure you'll be there.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What does that scripture say again? As many as receive him,
to them he gave the power to become his sons.
Have you received him?
Yes, sir.
Have you been given the power?
Yes, sir.
When were you given the power?
Because I know I have the Holy Ghost.
When were you given the Holy Ghost?
I don't know, but all of a sudden I know that things unusual begin to happen in my life.
Amen.
And that's how to do with the third question I want to ask.
Eh?
I say that have to do with the third question I want to ask.
No, before you ask the question, you had an assurance.
Yes, I know.
You are so sure until you confess it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Church, listen. Listen, listen, listen. Listen, oh. Ha. I don't say you get children. Eh? When you got pregnant and you delivered your baby, do you remember the day you delivered that baby? Eh? Is it possible to say you suddenly discover that Pikin not dey mabele again?
No.
No.
Eh? No, there's a spirit that I will not forget.
Thank you. Thank you. The new birth is not a physical birth. The day you receive the Holy Ghost, it's not somebody that will tell you how now. The Moses are saying, I just noticed it. My life is just changed. Oh. I don't know. Ha! It is a definite experience, brother, that nobody can explain it away from you. And it is only after that day that you begin to notice that your life has changed. After that experience. And it is then you can say, the Bible says, the Spirit beareth witness with my spirit. Which spirit? Is the Holy Ghost that dwells inside of you, that you received. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We try by all means to emphasize our teachings on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because the eternal life is not mathematics. It's not permutations. It's not an equation to be balanced, and it's not something, an examination you write. And then you say, make a wait to see whether I pass. So, I don't know whether I go pass. So, Eternal life is a definite gift from God. That you will be sure. And that is the assurance you have that makes you not to be afraid of anything on earth here. That is the assurance that will never make you to be afraid of death. They can't scare you with death not to stand for Christ. That is the assurance you have that you see yourself like a prince. You heard Sister Eukaria's testimony. She said that a man wanted to take advantage of her situation. I wanted her to move into his house because he noticed a fine girl like this, no accommodation. So come and live with me now. She's a young girl. She knows what the man means by saying, come and stay with me. She said that she just thought she can't do it, not just because she's a Christian. She said, because she comes from a royal family. Do you understand what I mean? She says she comes from a royal family and it is abomination for somebody, a princess, to move to a man's house who has not paid her dowry. That means she knows who she is. A princess. How can I, a princess? She knows who she is. It's not somebody that told her, you know you're a princess now. Don't go to this man's house now. You know you're a princess. You know, the fact that you are being reminded that you're a princess is evidence you are not a princess. A princess. They told you you're a princess. My mama say, my papa na king. My mama say, my mama say... Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because so many people, you are born again because your pastor say you are born again. Your pastor say you are born again. Sister, are you born again? Yes, so which day? Day before yesterday. Who told you you are born again? My pastor say I'm born again. You are not born nothing. You are not born again. Amen. Apostle Peter said, be diligent. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Be diligent to making your calling and election sure. That blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You must have that assurance. What is the assurance that you will go in the rapture? Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope of glory is Christ in you. Praise the Lord. Okay, I just want to hammer it, not just for you, but for people who are listening to us for the first time. That's why I say the most important sermon from the Bible is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are not born again until you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't have eternal life until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, you cannot live eternally until the eternal God dwells in you. It makes you an eternal being. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody sing, eternal, eternal life. I want to live eternal life. If you want to live eternal life, then let the great eternal God come and dwell inside of you. You will become an eternal being. Grave could not hold him captive because the Bible in Romans chapter 8 says, if the Spirit, hallelujah, that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. Oh, glory be to God. That's the emphasis. That's the emphasis. Grave could not hold him captive because of the Spirit that dwelt in him. Grave too will not hold you and me captive if you have that same Spirit that dwells in Christ. How many of us have it tonight? Oh, glory. Praise God. Thank you. I think I've answered your question. Hey, sorry, what was the question before I asked you my own?
Sir, the third question is that I want to know.
So when you come back, when we come back, will you recognize Oshodi? Your house there, Oshodi?
No, sir.
When we come back, all the memories of this earth will be with you. All the memories will be with you. You will know Oshodi. You will know all the places you went to preach where they make caricature of you. You will know everything. You will see everybody. You will know who is who. You will know us all. Although when I will be coming back, I won't have bald head like this. But you will recognize me. Amen. You will recognize me. I'll come with a finer, younger body than this. Hallelujah. Because we shall be coming with angelic bodies. We shall be coming with glorified bodies. We shall not be coming with bodies that we need to move by car. Angels don't move by car. If they want to be in Jerusalem from here now, it's a thought. Once they say Jerusalem, they are there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glorified bodies. That is what I am looking forward to. So you won't need a car. You won't even need a mansion. Hallelujah. You won't need all those things. We are higher beings than those human beings that will be living on earth. Praise God. Okay.
Sir, the third question is, I want to know the function of Holy Ghost and one's angel. Because sometimes when I'm reading the scripture, I don't know if it's the Holy Ghost that's interpreting it for me or my angel that is doing it. Then another one again is that I will send my angel on errands and he will do the work. So I want to know if their function is the same thing.
Of what I want?
As in the one that interprets the scripture for me and my angel that I will send on errands and he will do what I send him.
Amen. It's true. I think that question is very important. There are two types of angels that appear to us. An angel is a messenger of God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, "Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that shall be heir of salvation?" You see? And I think Psalm 103 verse 20 speaks about angels that excel in strength, that hearken unto the voice of his word. They are ministering spirits, messengers. Now, we also have angelic appearance of God. And you must know this. We have angelic appearance of God. An angel from God will not accept worship from you. If you try to bow down before an angel, he will never allow you to worship him because you are his master. You are the son of his master. You occupy a higher position as a son of God than an angel of God. Not too many people know this. Not too many people know this. Amen. So when you see people who are worshiping angels, Angel Jagu, Angel Jagura, Angel Make, Angel this, pray for me. Angel this, pray for me. Angel Jagura, pray for me. They don't know nothing about the kingdom. They know nothing about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When you see a son of a father that can only receive something from his father, if he goes through the servants at home, then there is something wrong between the relationship of that son and his father. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. There is only one mediator between God and man. The Bible says, who is that mediator?
Jesus Christ.
The man Jesus Christ. Because he is the one that made a way for us to get there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Saint Mary, pray for me. Mary, Mother of God, pray for me. You don't have revelation. And to start with, Mary is not even hearing you. Mary is dead. And there is no connection between the dead and the living. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. After that, judgment. Praise the Lord. There is only one mediator. Mary will never mediate between you and God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have only one intercessor. He is the advocate. Is the high priest, is the mediator, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you just have to understand that. But we have angelic presence of God. We are the creator of the heavens and the earth. The great eternal spirit wants to descend to the level of a man and relate with you. He will take upon himself the nature of an angel and appear before you. How do you know the difference? The glory of this angelic presence of God is higher than the glory of an ordinary angel that will come. When that angelic presence of God himself coming in the form of an angel come, you won't be able to even open your eyes and look at him. You will be shaking and praying, let him go, make him go. Because his voice alone, he will speak, will break your bones to pieces. So when you say angels, you have to know that. These are the two categories of angels. So your question is, what? Who is the one that teaches you?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says that the Holy Ghost is a teacher. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. The Holy Ghost is an intercessor. That is what is given for. But when it comes to hearkening unto the voice of his word, God always works with his angels. Anytime you claim a promise of God in the Bible, you claim it and you confess it in your mouth. Angels of God ensure what you say come to pass. They hearken unto the voice of his word. That is their job. Psalm 103
you,
verse
sir.
20. Amen. You catch it. Okay. That should be the last person.
Church, yes. Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Pastor, thank you for the privilege. My question goes like this. I was sharing Bible with some people in the bus. Then when I talk about drinking of alcohol, one brother said that drinking of alcohol is good. That even in the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, is there. That they should use the money for tithe and buy strong drink. When we came down from the bus, I said, okay, prove it. I brought my Bible. He now gave me this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 26. And it says, and thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, which is the place I'm going to. You still remember, that is where I'm going to. That's strong drink.
Okay, that's so you are asking now.
Yeah.
Can we be drinking alcohol now? Use our tithe and buy alcohol and drink. Is that your question?
No, I don't take alcohol. Alcohol is not. If you take alcohol, your brain is never the same.
So what's your question?
He said that the Bible said that they should use the money for tithe and buy strong drink, and he showed me this. This verse, So I became confused, and that's why I have to find out.
Praise the Lord. Listen, church. Always remember, sir, always remember that we have two testaments. We have the law, which is the first testament. We call it the Old Testament. And we have the New Testament. Now, under the Old Testament, you must take time to understand the requirements under the Old Testament, so that you'll be able to know which part of the Old Testament is still applicable now in the New Testament and which part is not. And that is so difficult to decipher, to break down, and not too many preachers have even caught it. There are some that, in trying to understand the Old Testament, the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, they write up everything in the Old Testament and just say, we are now in the New Testament. Therefore, bring nothing from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Now, that is going to the extreme, because there are still some things in the Old Testament that are still applicable now under the New Testament. And there are some other things in the Old Testament that are not applicable now in the New Testament. And one of them is alcohol. Unless you understand that, if you take it like that, before you know what, that same Old Testament said, tooth for a tooth, do me, I do you. That same Old Testament says, suffer not a witch to live. You'll be killing people, and quote that scripture if you don't follow it properly. That's why you must understand. Because there are some other scriptures in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 5 say, a woman should not put that which pertains to a man, and a man should not wear that which pertains to a woman. And I have some fine Pentecostal preachers that say, that is for the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it doesn't matter. You can take whatever, wear whatsoever you wear. It's grace. Just come the way you are. It's grace. That is going to the extreme. Because we have moral laws in the Old Testament that are still applicable now. But we have ordinances in the Old Testament that have been nailed to the cross on Calvary. They wiped them away. That's why in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, 17, he said, let no man judge you in what you eat, in what you drink, in the Sabbath, in the new moon, or any holy day. He said, which are a shadow of things to come. All those ordinances, they are wiped away, because Christ came to fulfill them. Everything in those ordinances was fulfilled in Christ. So you have to be able to know which one is done away with and which one is still part of the New Testament. God bless you.
My second question goes like this. Pastor, like we now coming from the religion where allows us to marry, give birth to children before coming for church wedding. So now we have seen the light. Are we still living in fornication, or how do we go about it?
You come from religion that allows you to marry and have children, and then afterwards come for church wedding. Now that is according to that religion. The things that you did in ignorance like that, God overlooks. What you do, the only way to correct it is not a wedding. is a marriage blessing. Come with your children and your wife, and then we will bless the marriage. But we can't give you a white gown to come to the altar and dance with your children as the bridal train. We can't do that, because the meaning of the white gown will be defeated. So we only bless the marriage. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Okay. Church, let's clap our hands for the Lord Jesus Christ. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to look at a little topic I titled The Invitation. Can we sing hymn 283? Hymn 283. Let's sing it from our hymn book. If you don't have a hymn book, we don't know if they can scroll it for us on the screen. And then let's just sing it together. I say, come to the Savior, make no delay. Are we there?